It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
You know what, dear friends, family, compatriots, colleagues, comrades in arms, it is a good morning indeed. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, the Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. It's the midweek edition of the show. Spectacular to have you with us today and every day from 6 until 10 a.m. right here on the Fan Upstate. Do you not have your normal ones? Because those look broke.
Yeah. I think someone else uses these. I'm going to have to leave.
It looks like somebody has a bigger head than you. And that's impressive.
I'm not going to say anything because we both know who it is.
I'm not going to say anything either. I'm just saying that's what it looks like. Great to have you folks. Welcome in. Hope that you had a lovely Thursday. Nope, Tuesday. Today's Wednesday. It's not
Thursday.
Yeah, I'm getting there. Give me a minute. We've been doing this show in this time slot for coming up on a year now, and I can tell you, and I mean this with all sincerity, you don't get used to it. You just don't. When I worked for my old station back down in Destin, when they moved me to the mornings, my very first morning drive show, the gentleman that was a longtime host of that show was a mentor of mine. And when he moved me into that spot, or when they moved me into that spot, I asked him one day, and something that I don't know why, like, you know how sometimes somebody says something to you, and it just kind of sticks with you for a very long time? This is one of those things, and I don't know why. But I spoke with this gentleman and I said, hey, how long do you have to do this before you get used to waking up this early in the morning? And he, a gentleman by the name of Adam McCloskey, dear friend of mine, to this day, still talk to him. Adam looked me in the face and he said, you never get used to waking up this early. You just get used to being tired most of the time. And no one has ever given me more sage advice in all of my years than Adam McCloskey, who said, yeah, you're never going to get used to it, bud. You're never going to wake up one day at 3:30 in the morning and go, oh, I feel refreshed. I feel wonder. No, you're just going to wake up at 3:30 in the morning and go, oh, bleep, here we go again. So there are some days. There are some days you're just going to have to give me a minute, people. Today, perhaps one of those days. But I do have very, very good news. The show is chock-a-block full. Today, I do have very good news. We have a lot of things to get to, a lot of things to talk about, a lot of stuff to discuss, debate, and engage in friendly or otherwise discourse this lovely Wednesday morning as we move to the back half of the week. And I'm glad that you are all here to do that with me, with us today. You good now? We set over there? There's a bit of chaos this AM for your buck, nut, and chief.
All right, you are taking a lot of pleasure in me.
I'm not,
because this is usually you,
it's almost exclusively me. No. Almost entirely, always, exclusively me.
Turns out those other headphones are the right headphones. It's just they may be broke now.
Oh, okay. So it's a bit of a bummer for you.
Well, Might be time to go get another pair.
I got my new cans 6 months ago or so. And, you know, it's an, treat yourself, Lonzo. Okay, have yourself a little treat. Spend some money on a good set of cans. It's a privilege.
By the way, I do. That's what I mean. You see, I spend at least between 80 and like 120 because I have to find something that fit my head. You can't just buy them online.
Can't just buy them online.
I mean, you have to go in.
You can return them. It's just going to take you a hot minute.
But as much as we wear headphones, you need to go in and test them out, the comfort,
I agree.
All that kind of stuff.
I have bought the same brand. These are just the update model. I've been buying and wearing the same brand for probably 10 years now, just because I know they fit my big ass head.
There's a couple. Audio Technica makes some. So does Yamaha that I like. So I will fluctuate back and forth.
Yeah.
But it's time.
All right. We got a lot to get to. No bigger story breaking yesterday than sheer minutes after Lonzo and I got off the air yesterday. Because that's just the way it works.
What's up with that? I mean, doing it like I don't know, 9:50.
Yeah. Almost inevitably, Lonzo and I get off the air at 10 and then 10:15. Gigantic news breaks yesterday. The New York Jets deciding to fire Robert Saleh as the head coach. He had been there since 2021, ran up a 20-36 record, started 2-3 this year. And I'm kind of up on the air on this decision, to be honest with you. I'm up in the air on this decision for a couple of reasons. Number one, while Robert Saleh was not the defensive coordinator, we do tend to give head coaches some level of grace when the other side of the ball from the one that they are, you know, they have an offensive or defensive mind, we tend to give a little grace on the other side of the football. Now, this is why I have said for the past 2 years, I don't think I am more shocked by the performance of any team in the National Football League than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because I and GL wrote off Todd Bowles when he got that job. I went, wait a minute. This team built itself around the offensive side of the football. They just promoted a defensive coordinator to replace Bruce Arians after Tom Brady left. In what world is this going to work out? Turns out the real one is the one that it works out in.
Some head coaches are pretty good at going, hey, you're the offensive coordinator. Do the offensive stuff.
Yeah. You're not wrong. Robert Saleh was leading a Jets defense, and this is what I think it is important for people to recognize. The Jets defense is good. Like, it's good. It's drafted well. It's built well. The play calling on that side of the football has been very, very good as of late. The Jets' problems, not the defense. The Jets' problems are on the offense. Hoomst is the offensive coordinator for the New York Jets. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Nathaniel can't hack it. Nathaniel Hackett is one of the few coaches in the league that's so bad at their job that I do make jokes about them. Like straight up. You know, most guys, they're not good at their job. I'm like, all right, unfortunately, they're not good at their job. Nathaniel can't hack it catches his own nickname on the show. I got Aaron Rodgers out here in that game against the Vikings tossing three picks, which if I recall correctly, and I might be wrong about this, there may be, you know how they do those stats that have qualifiers to them? They're like, he's never before thrown three picks in a game, .. where he was wearing green socks. He's never before thrown three picks in a game, .. where he had an espresso before the game. So, you know what I mean? Like, they always kind of have that qualifier on there to make it sound like the stat's more important than it is. If I recall correctly, I believe this is Aaron Rodgers' first three interception game. Was that the right stat?
I am pretty sure that they said that and that he said that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he specifically pointed out, I think this is the first game I've had three turnovers directly attributable to me. HF or otherwise. They're not his fault, directly his fault or otherwise. So my question, and then there's the Denver loss, right? Then there's the Denver loss. And again, the Denver loss to me, back-to-back L's for the Jets, 10-9, an atrocious game. If your defense holds an NFL team to 10 points, you got to win that game. You just got to win that game. Bo Nix in that game was 12 of 25 for 60 yards. Denver did run for 126, but like, you held them to a total. I'm bad at math, but I think I can do this one in my head. 60 plus 126 is 186 total yards of offense and 10 points. You got to win that game. And, you know, I kind of look at this and go, wait a minute. It is very clearly and obviously an offensive problem. And while, yes, Robert Saleh is ultimately responsible for the guys that are calling the plays, executing the plays, etc., I kind of felt like this was a bit of a rushed decision. But I thought about this a little bit, and I thought, all right, midseason fire. These don't happen very often. You know who the last coach to get fired in midseason was? Matt Rhule.
It's not even midseason.
In season. That's fair. I mean, in season.
First third, I guess.
Thank you, Chris.
Just wanted you to be right, Rob.
First in-season firing since Matt Rhule a couple of years ago. When a team fires a guy in-season, it says that they believe that that season can still be salvaged. We can still make something out of this. And the Jets, frankly, can. Because as we pointed out yesterday, when we were doing our NFL quarter season report cards, the Jets are second in that division, and they're only a game back of the Bills. And by the way, the Bills don't exactly look like the juggernaut this year, right? So they do believe this season can be salvaged. And I know that this was a bit of a rushed decision because Peter Schrager of the NFL Network yesterday dropped a little knowledge about how it happened. He went on NFL Net and said this. So there you go.
What's he mean? Takes a, I mean, dude has not been good since he's been there.
I don't agree. Because I think that, again, we have to start with, we all came into the year assuming the Jets were going to be good. As if this isn't a franchise that's in the midst of a 13-season playoff drought. Now, Saleh's been there since 2021. So it's not like he hasn't had time. I don't disagree. What I will say is the elements of the team that I think Robert Saleh has the most influence over, the defensive side of the football, is fine. It's fine. The offense has been what stunk. And I don't think, I could be wrong, I don't think Robert Saleh was the guy that hired Nathaniel Cain Hackett. I could be wrong about that. Maybe it was his call, but I don't think so. I think we are looking at a situation. By the way, I do want to say this before I go any further down that line. Two things about Woody Johnson. Number one, your last name is Johnson. Stop letting people call you Woody. Number two, I actually kind of respect Woody Johnson as an owner. Because Woody Johnson, of all the NFL owners, is one of the few that I genuinely think will spend money to make his team good and will make decisions to make his team good. That being said, and here's where Zoe and I are going to butt heads. I put a lot of it on Aaron Rodgers too. I do. Okay, I put a lot of it on Rodgers. Not all of it.
I think a lot of it's everybody. I mean, the performance of everybody. I know, except for the defense, but still. Yeah, there's a little bit on everybody. But in the end, the head coach is the guy who's going to pay for it.
I agree.
That's how it works in football and other sports, too. Speaking of Woody Johnson, my wife made fun of him one day.
Because his name's Woody Johnson?
No, because we were in the box next to them at a Panthers game. And she didn't know who it was. He was getting all animated, and she was like making faces at him, stuff, and he kept looking at her and everything. And then later on, I told her, I was like, "That's the owner over there."
Your wife was openly, though unintentionally, talking to the owner of the opposing team.
And I believe
I love that.
I can almost directly quote, it was a long time ago, she said, I don't care. So, I mean, just like, okay.
Miss Lisa out for blood, even though she didn't know it.
We
incredible.
She had connections. She got us in that box, not me. And it was catered and all that kind of stuff. It was nice. It really was.
Careful you don't get frostbite holding that nose that high up in the air, you 1%er.
Didn't realize it was right next to the owner's box.
Yeah. It's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, it was.
Pretty spectacular. Look, the situation breaks down this way to me. Number one, there's not, to me, and I could be wrong, though it's very rare, there's not to me a world in which Woody Johnson didn't run this by Aaron Rodgers, who has had basically input on every other decision this team has made for the past 2 years. The guys that have come in to play wide receiver. Alan Lazard is a Jet because of Aaron Rodgers. Okay? He's had that control. So that's not to say that Aaron Rodgers had the say. Like, he called up Woody Johnson like, hey, Big Woody, I want Robert gone.
Stop it. You know he doesn't want to be called. I mean, he might.
Listen.
But you know.
Woody.
After Jerry Richardson, you got to be careful.
Hey, Big Woody, I know it's a hard decision. All right?
Stop.
And I don't want to be an employee that comes off as stiff here. All right? And I'm not trying to give Robert Saleh the shaft. I'm really not. But, you know, I think we really gotta think this decision through. All right? I'm gonna come into your office, out of your office. We need to talk about this conversation. I don't think that happened. I don't think any of that happened. I think ultimately what happened here is Saleh looks at this team, and he said yesterday, this is the most talented team I've had in 25 years. And I don't think he's wrong at all. I think this is the most talented team they've had since, what, Vinny Testaverde was there. And this year feels salvageable. And on top of all of that, here's the reason I think Rodgers does have more of a say in this conversation. I think we all know Rodgers is at the zenith of his career, right? He's at the end of his career. He's at the end. God, that was bad. The end of his career.
It's okay. It's still the same word, but you got you put more emphasis on it. That made it different.
Yeah. I was trying to think of another unnecessary word to use there. He's at the end of his career. And I think if you're the Jets, realizing that window is closing for you to have a Hall of Famer directing the team, if you don't make the playoffs, what's the impetus for Aaron Rodgers to come back? Either to not retire or to not demand a trade to go to play for a winner next year, right? To go somewhere that's close but needs a quarterback. To go, I got one more shot at this. So I think effectively the Jets here think they can salvage the season. And more importantly, think if they want a shot at the postseason with Aaron Rodgers, have to. They have to.
Do you think it's a big deal, like other people are making a big deal of it, the fact that he was escorted out by security?
I'm real curious about that.
Yeah, that seems, you know, I just seen another thing from Pro Football Talk, and I heard this yesterday. I think I saw it on McAfee, that Adam Gase was not escorted out.
No, in fact, somebody yesterday, I can't remember who it was, and I'm sorry for this. I wish I was. I was watching yesterday afternoon as I got prepared for the midday siesta. I had it on NFL Net, just kind of watching the fallout from this, and I can't remember who it was, but one of their insiders said that this is the only coach that they can remember in the modern era getting a security escort out of the building. Like, did Woody Johnson think Robert Saleh was going to beat the crap out of him?
I mean,
he was going to snap?
I mean, maybe if Dan Campbell's ever let go, maybe you could see that because of the intensity. Saleh, he's got that look in his eyes, maybe. I don't know.
It's weird.
But we don't know. I mean, I didn't watch Hard Knocks when they were on it, but I mean, I don't know how, if he's kind of over the top and reacts angrily to things.
I don't know. And again, I'm not gonna judge because I don't know, right? Like you said, Robert Saleh, maybe Saleh's got a little roid rage left in him.
Hey, look around your building where you work, and is there someone who you think, that guy or girl, they would have to be escorted out? I know there's people here.
For sure. For sure, there's people everywhere I've worked. So I'm not going to judge that. Like, I know it's an interesting conversation in that we love some drama, But it, like, it, whatever, it kind of is what it is to me. What I really want to know is, how involved in this decision was Aaron Rodgers? Was it his decision? Are they doing this because he said it? Did they run it by him? Were they like, no, screw that. You're the quarterback. You're not the GM. You don't have a say at all. Like, I'm interested in that. I'm interested in what it was, because Woody Johnson put out a statement that said, this was my decision. This is my call. Me, myself, and I, and nobody else. This was my call.
I am seeing tweets, X threads, whatever, from people who seem to be in the know, who say that that Aaron Rodgers was surprised that he didn't know it was coming.
See, and again, this is why yesterday, if you go to my Twitter feed, you'll notice I was shockingly quiet yesterday. I didn't have jokes. You know why? Because I don't know what happened here. This is an owner who I do respect, and that he's one of the few that I truly do feel will spend money, make the power plays to make it. Like, they all own it because they want to profit off of it, but there are a handful of owners that I truly genuinely believe want to win and are willing to spend their own money to make that happen. And Woody Johnson's in a very small group of owners I feel that way about. But I also know he can be a bit impetuous. I feel like he can be a little trigger happy, a little dramatic with his decision making process.
I have seen personally Woody get very angry in that booth, because I was watching him too, very animated and stuff like that. So I'm guessing they probably have had words before, and who knows, the firing may not have went, you know, amicable. Maybe,
yeah,
maybe it got heated, and so that's why he had to be escorted out.
Robert, we appreciate all your efforts, but we're relieving your of your duties. You know what, Woody? You! All right, bud, Big Pete, why don't you get in here? Why don't you walk Robert to his car? Robert, don't worry. We'll mail you your stuff. Your last check's in the mail. I don't know. This is why I'm not passing judgment on the situation. What I'm going to say is, first off, good job not giving Nathaniel Hackett the interim head coaching job. God, could you imagine that disaster? Second off, we'll see. If the Jets turn around and they win this division, then we're all going to look back and go, what a move. And if they completely fall apart, melt down, implode with nuclear violence, then we're all going to look back at this and go, Jets going to jet. You know who aren't Ets going to Et? Mets apparently aren't going to Met. They're going to beat the Philadelphia Phillies in this divisional series. Or... they're going to lose two games in a row to Philly, blow up entirely, and Mets are indeed going to Met. We're going to talk some baseball. Kurt Warner was on the internet yesterday. He gave the way that he would coach up young quarterbacks, and I think he said some things I found very interesting and would like to get to. And Jey Uso's Waffle House order, all coming up on the show today. Rob Lonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show, is on the radio. It's the Fan Upstate.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Three to two, just like that. 3-2 out of the gate. Rough. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob the Great Milonzo with you. Let's keep on this Jets thing here for just a minute. We're not going to spend the whole day on it, but... you know, this is... Rob, what do you talk about NFL teams that are not in our market? Because what every team does impacts every other team. All right? That's the NFL. Who was it, Zoe? I don't know if you remember. Who was it? We had somebody on. Was it... Oh, it was Steve Smith. Panthers wide receiver. We had Steve Smith on I was on Wire to Wire that day. But we had Steve Smith on one day when Diesel and I were up at Panthers camp at Clemson. And Steve was talking about quarterbacks or something. And he made the point that it's the NFL. Every decision made by every team has consequences on every other team, right? You hire this guy, it has consequences that can reach. It's the old proverbial butterfly effect, right? If I hire this guy over here, somebody else has got to replace him. That comes off of that team. Then they got to go grab that guy from that. It has a ripple effect across the league. So I this is why I think NFL fans pay more attention to all 32 teams than college fans do to any other team, with maybe the exception of like their rival, right? So this Robert Saleh thing, there's a couple of things. Texter wrote in a minute ago and said Aaron Rodgers can tell in 3 seconds when he's assaulting his head coach that they're not into it. And for a dynamo like Aaron Rodgers, that is a all caps deal breaker. I don't know how many times that video clip yesterday of the week 1 or 2 game where Rodgers threw a tutty and he heads to the sideline and Robert Saleh goes for the bro hug, right? And Aaron Rodgers puts both hands on his chest like an offensive lineman throwing a perfect pass pro block and pushes him back and stares into his, like death glance into his eyes, right? And pushes him away and then just walks around him.
All right, so he said that wasn't a big deal. What if Aaron decided to do his own thing and call his own plays there, and that's why he come off and said that?
Look, I don't care what the reason is. It's not again, I'm not saying like anything other than it's a pretty bad look when you score a tutty, you walk over. By the way, Robert Saleh, not the play caller for the offense. That's Nathaniel Can't Hack It. Right? Unless Saleh has taken over play calling duties, in which case, okay, well, you hired a bad OC. Regardless of the reason it happened, it's a real bad look when the QB throws a tutty, the HC goes over to hit the celly with him, and the QB pass blocks him away from him.
See, but Kelsey did that to Andy Reid. It bumped him last year.
I don't disagree.
Yeah, so
Travis Kelsey doesn't exactly have the reputation that Aaron Rodgers does, right? And reputations are reputations for a reason.
Travis Kelsey has a hothead reputation on the field.
I don't disagree. But is there any thought that there's an underlying deep-seated problem between Travis Kelsey and Andy Reid?
There was at the time. The media was going crazy.
For like 3 minutes after a game.
I'm just pointing out that it happens.
I understand.
Yes.
I agree. And I also think that when it happens, we go eyeballs on. But reputations are reputations for a reason. Reputations are typically built, not created. Reputations typically have some, not always 100% accurate, but reputations are frequently rooted in reality. And the reality is Aaron Rodgers has had a number of head coaches, and there are very few of them that have had good things to say about Aaron Rodgers when their relationship was terminated, right? Like very few. And so this is why I think that to some degree, I'm not putting it all on him, but to some degree, I do put it on Aaron Rodgers. Because my thought here is, this is a guy with a reputation of having bad relationships with coordinators, with head coaches throughout his time in the National Football League. And if your QB is openly having conflict with the coach, and it's not like they were trading verbal jabs, but there are two instances. Number one, the push heard around the world. And number two, a couple of weeks ago, there was a whole thing with the cadence, right? Where Robert Saleh comes out and he's like, yeah, we're getting the cadences wrong. We're going to have to change some stuff. And then Rodgers in the media, he's like, no, we don't have to change anything. The cadence is fine. We just got to get on the same page. And Saleh comes out and he's like, well, you know, it's say that, but we got to. And they're like bickering, but via reporters. If you're running a well-run organization, the second Rodgers says something about it into a microphone, Saleh's on the phone going, hey, Rod, my office right now. We need to figure this thing out. Not trading barbs in the media back and forth. And again, Travis Kelce is a hothead, for sure. That's a reputation that he's earned. Travis Kelce's also a guy that has had now a long-lasting, and I would say very successful, relationship with Andy Reid. There's a difference between a guy's a hothead in the emotion of the moment and a guy's just a divisive cat. And I don't care how you feel about him. Forget the off-the-field stuff, the podcast version of Aaron Rodgers. I don't care about that. I care about him as a quarterback. As a quarterback, he's divisive. And so if I got a guy over here who's bickering and headbutting with the head coach, you understand by default that's splitting your locker room. Because there's going to be a handful of guys that go, that's my quarterback, man. And there's going to be a handful of guys that go, who the hell does this guy think he is? It's bigger than the team. You're dividing the locker room.
So many players. You get Tom Brady did this. I mean, so many different players have done this. I just don't see that this is...
Tom Brady did it. But what did Bill Belichick do? We played this audio from him like 3 weeks ago. He said, my coaching style was to tell my team, whatever that guy wants, he gets. My job was to build a team that allowed Tom Brady to be Tom Brady. Now, maybe Salah's problem was that he did not do that for Aaron Rodgers. Maybe Salah should have walked in the locker room and said, I don't give a damn what anybody thinks. You all do whatever eight needs you to do. Nothing else. I don't care. But Bill Belichick, yeah, Tom Brady could be a hot-headed, divisive guy. But Belichick said, you want to be here? You want to be part of this? You do what 12 says you do. That ain't what the Jets have been doing. And therefore, whether you want to blame him or Salah or the team or Woody or whoever else, it is because Rodgers is a divisive cat. Now, all that being said, you ready for a fun question? The head coach got fired yesterday. They got to find a new head coach. Hey, what's the name of the Jets' general manager? Right?
We shouldn't know the name of the general manager for any team.
No, you absolutely should. The GM is a guy who signs contracts and makes deals.
No, I care about the players. I think most people care about the players. They don't care about the GM.
If you're
always talking about how you shouldn't know certain people's names, you shouldn't know the GM's name.
The GM is the guy who makes personnel decisions. You absolutely should. What I shouldn't know is the owner's making decisions, the quarterback's influencing them, and my GM is nowhere to be seen, that's the mark of an organization that's in dire straits. And not like the cool rock and roll band, like the bad kind. All right, let's get away from that. We'll talk some other stuff when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. It's the Rob Brown Show. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob the Great Lonzo with you here on a Wednesday morning. The midweek edition of the show rolls on. We have talked a bunch about the Jet situation firing Robert Salah yesterday. He is now gone, and they will go with Jeff Ulbrich, the defensive coordinator, which is the right call, to fill in as the interim HC. We will find out as the season rolls on if that was the right discussion, right decision, pardon me, or not. Let's go with a couple of other stories from around a handful of different sports outlets. Saints quarterback Derek Carr suffered an oblique injury in Monday night's loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. Took an MRI yesterday, according to sources via Catherine Terrell, ESPN staff writer. The MRI confirmed the injury was to the oblique, according to a source. The QB said he thought he suffered the injury while throwing an incomplete pass toward the end of the loss, but more additional testing will be confirmed. The source would not put a timeline on how long Derek Carr would be sidelined. And here we go, great one, one step closer towards the debut of former South Carolina Gamecock Spencer Rattler, because Taysom Hill's got broken ribs. He's out for a hot minute, which is why, and I mean this, I think that game's a hell of a lot closer Monday night if Taysom Hill's available, because of how many times the Saints got turned away on third and shorts, fourth and shorts, goal to go in shorts. And that's the taste. That's Tay time, right? Like, that's Tay time. That's where you go, hey, we're giving it to seven. Good luck, right? Didn't have him, won't have him, which means the Saints have to roll out Jake Haener out of UNLV, question mark. I think I got that right. And Spencer Rattler is the backup. And Haener, now granted, was under assault from one of the best defenses in the league in Kansas City on Monday, but was 2 of 7 and running for his life in that game. And I'm going to say this. I actually like Jake Haener. And I think Jake Haener's got some tools in the toolkit that give him an opportunity down the line to be a good quarterback. I'm also going to say, behind an offensive line that is banged up and also slightly above average for the Saints, I need a quarterback that I can trust moving the pocket left and right. That's all Spencer Rattler did at South Carolina, was run away. That's a Monty Python reference. I don't have any coconuts available, but if I did.
Why not? I need to get some just for that reason.
Just have a couple for the sake of talking about Spencer Rattler.
Why not?
Babe, I'm going to talk about Spence. I need my coconuts. I saw a dude on the internet the other day that called them coconuts, and that drove me up a wall.
Why?
Like, he didn't have an accent. Like, there was no, it was just a regular dude, but he said, I like coconuts. I hate it. I don't know why.
Do you not like Cocoa Puffs?
That's a different thing.
Cocoa Nuts.
It would be different, just like if I said, you know what I had for breakfast this morning? Cocoa Puffs. You'd be like, no, that's not how that's said. They're not Cocoa Puffs, but it is coconut, all right? And also, they're not cocoa, so you can't be like, well, the word's cocoa. No, they're not cocoa. Cocoa's a whole different thing. That's a bean.
Coconuts. If you split the word up and just go with the first four letters, how would you say that?
Cocoa, but that's not how words work.
That's
not how words. Fine. Say the word T-E-A-R. How do you say that word?
Depends on the context.
Exactly.
Of the sentence. Yeah, but that's different.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Excellent contribution to the conversation.
No. That's not the same.
It's exactly the same.
It is not.
How you pronounce letters is 100% contextual.
Tear and tear are not the same as coconut.
Why?
Because it's not.
How is C-O-C-O not pronounced differently based on the context you're using? And by the way, cocoa is C-O-C-O-A. If you want to get technical here, it's COCO, not a word, unless it's somebody's name, like Auntie Coco. All right, that's what my nephew calls my wife, Auntie Coco.
Okay,
I totally let him. It's a great name. The point here is, if you say coconut,
I bet she loves that.
She does. She actually did. She actually taught him that, and he's like, I like it. I'm going for it.
Okay.
It's not coconut. Coconut. All right. Coconut. Stop.
Why are you trying to sound Jamaican when you do that?
That's what I did. It's coconut.
Are you sure he's not from Jamaica?
Yes. He's a white dude from the Bronx.
So, he's from the Bronx.
That's a podcast guy. It's what he does.
Okay.
Right? To the point that my initial thought, because I've been influenced too much by the great one, my initial thought is he's only saying that way to make me mad. And it worked.
It definitely seems to have worked, yes.
Can you do me a favor? Can you make me a Mai Tai extra coconut? No! No, I can't, sir. But I'll put some coconut in it. You psycho. Okay, anyway, point here is,
there's so much rage around this building. It's 2 days in a row.
Yeah, I'm heated today, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Yes, so Jake Haener likely going to get the start. Spencer Rattler will be in his back pocket as the backup, and I'm intrigued by this because if Jake Haener, as QB1 comes out and has a performance, and again, we're playing Tampa Bay this weekend, all right? This, to me, great one, this game makes or breaks the season. If the Saints lose to Tampa and they start 1-2 in the division and that'd put us, assuming Tampa and Atlanta both win this weekend, a full 2.5 games back of both of those teams in the division. I honestly think, and I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, Rob, there's a lot of football left, and there is. If the Saints are 2.5 games back with losses to Tampa and Atlanta to start the season, I think the season's over at that point. I think you can go ahead and pack the boxes and Robert Saleh the New Orleans Saints season at that point. So
that's what you want.
I don't want my team to have their season end in week six. I'm not a fan.
I'm not talking about the season. I'm talking about the coach being fired. You've mentioned that many, many times.
Okay, that's fair.
Does it bother you when other coaches are getting fired and the one who you think should be fired is not?
No. It doesn't. It doesn't at all. In fact, I'm even at the point now where I'm like, you know what? I'm over games 1 and 2. I'm over. Carolina, Dallas, 41, 47 points. I'm over those games. Those games are irrelevant to me at this point. Okay? Dennis Allen'd this team. You know this team can score 40. They did it twice. And then Dennis Allen started being Dennis Allen again. Yeah, I hang it all on him. I would Robert Saleh Dennis Allen for sure. But here's what I will say. I said going into the draft, and this was before the New Orleans Saints drafted him. I want to be very clear because I got a bunch of criticism after the draft when I came in here the next day. And I said, bango, I'm really happy with that draft pick. And we got him at like 130. What was it? 135 we drafted him at. I said, I think there's going to be a lot of teams that really regret that down the line. I think Spencer Rattler's the surprise of the draft. And of course, we started getting texts and emails from people going, you would say that you get stuck up to the South Carolina fit. Guys, I said that before the Saints took him. I said, I think Spencer Rattler's steal of the draft. And oh, by the way, I said it before Robert Griffin III said it. I've said it before Mel Kiper said it. Like all the draft dudes jumped immediately on Spencer Rattler as steal of the draft for the Saints. I said it a week before the draft started. That's a steal possibility. I kind of want them to go straight to him. Do I think he's going to come out and immediately burn it up as a rook? No. No, I don't. You know what I do think? I think the weapons are there. I do think the Saints need an upgraded receiver, which is, and by the way, if Derek Carr is going to be out for like 5 or 6 weeks, the Davante Adams things is off. It's off the table. I already think it is. And I think part of the move by the Jets to fire Salah may have been to tempt Davante Adams, right? Like, look, your guy's got all the power here. Your guy is the GM here for us, Aaron Rodgers. So why don't you come to a place where the guy you want to play with, that Aaron Rodgers, you tell Aaron what you want, Aaron tells us what you want, you get what you want, right? But from what I understand, the reports are the Saints have been on the phone with Devontae's people this whole time. Like, my man, you're the guy here, right? Like, you won Olave 2, everybody else 3, and your boy Derek Carr at the QB spot, Alvin Kamara, who's had a renaissance except for the Kansas City game. Look at this offense. Like, we'll make the, and we'll pay you. And we'll pay you. I think that's all well and good. I think that's absolutely a move. If they can grab that guy and they can bring that guy, Davante Adams, in, pair him up with Olave on one side, him on the other, Foster Moreau with the tight end, Alvin Kamara, Spencer Rattler's going to be exactly where I said Caleb Williams is. About as good of a rookie situation. No pressure on the cat, right? Nobody expects anything out of the Saints after taking 3 straight L's. Nobody expects anything out of this team. And certainly nobody expects a guy drafted at the 100 and whatever 35th overall position to come in and be an immediate game changer. He has some time to develop a little bit. Speaking of developing a little bit, later on in the show, Kurt Warner was on a podcast yesterday. And they asked him about developing young quarterbacks. And he gave what I thought was a long but phenomenal answer. And we're going to break it up and listen to it a little bit later on in the show. Because I found it very interesting, and I think you can see the difference in some of the young quarterbacks and how Kurt Warner's ideas, suggestions, advice applied to them. I think Spencer Rattler could be in that group. This is a guy under Clint Kubiak that has no pressure and has some time to actually develop within the offense. Question mark is, do they go to him or do they give Jake Haener the nod and put Spencer Rattler in the 2 spot? I don't know. I will tell you personally, I'd love him to go to Spence. Realistically, they're going to start with Jake Haener. He's been the backup the whole time for a reason. I think they start with him. I also think Jake Haener is a dude that I like, but I think Spence can get him. I think Spencer can outperform him. So I'm real interested in that. Texter said, I yearn for the rat daddy. Already grabbed the rat daddy on waivers. I don't know how I feel about Rat Daddy as the nickname. I do know I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I just don't know if I love it yet.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out where it came from. I mean,
name's Rattler.
No. I'm just out of the blue. You decide to make a nickname, and I know the texter.
Oh, okay. I was like, I didn't call him.
I'm talking about the texter. Just I mean, maybe it's a secret nickname that we didn't know about. I mean, he did play in the state. It's possible.
You know, I am, this may shock some of you, I am not adverse to frequently handing out a nickname on the fly and see if I can make it stick.
Uh-uh.
I know. It's shocking. Lonzo's got 14 nicknames for me on this show. All right? I'm a fan of handing out nicknames and seeing what sticks. Rattler's his last name, you know? And hopefully he turns out to be a QB daddy.
The only nickname you've given me that's completely accurate is Colonel Rudge.
You gave yourself that one, for the record.
No, I don't. Did I?
Yeah, okay. You did. You did. I think you started with something else. Like you started with a title, something major grudge, something like that. And I was like, Colonel sounds good. You're promoted. I promoted you on the spot.
All right, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
That's the most accurate one.
I am pulling for Rat Daddy. Give me Rat Daddy this weekend.
Is that negative though?
No.
Rat Daddy's kind of negative.
Listen. You know the context of the word daddy, right?
I'm aware, okay. Yes.
It's a positive.
There are many different versions of daddy, but I know where you're going.
When you use this one as a nickname, it's only the one, all right? It's only the one. When we call a guy a yak daddy, that is the highest of compliments.
So it's not who's your daddy?
No, it's that kind of daddy. If a man says who's your daddy and the other person, I'm just going to say the other person says you are, that's the highest of compliments. It's weird, all right? I'm going to say, ladies of the Rob Brown Armada, I love you all. I just want you to know, a lot of us think the daddy thing's very weird. Yeah. But I'm not here to judge, to each their own, 4-2. The point here is...
Wow, way to catch that. I was going to tell you that.
I know you are. I saw it. I just want to say that if you are such a baller on the floor, court, whatever, ice, whatever, that the dude fans call you a blank daddy, QB daddy, yak daddy, whatever, it's the highest of compliments. You understand what, like, where you are as a dude to refer to another dude as a yak daddy? So if Rat comes out and balls for New Orleans, Rat Daddy becomes the nickname, Texter, because of you. Because of you. He will become Spencer Rat Daddy Rattler. And I hope he does. You know what I would love? To have a Spencer Rattler come out and just be like, Jaden Daniels who? Jaden Daniels, look at this man. Look at this former Gamecock out there balling out for the New Orleans Saints. The door's open, Spence Rat Daddy Rattler. I'm in for it. Here's the... No, see, I can't do it. I can't do it. I was going to call you the sports flash that, but as I don't even have that in me. Now, if you nail this one, maybe next hour. Lonzo with the sports flash.
Yeah, I don't want to be anyone's daddy. New York Jets fired head coach Robert Saleh. Yesterday, after the team opened the season with a record of 2-3, owner Woody Johnson said the decision was his. Saleh had been with the Jets since 2021 and compiled a 20-36 record. That's not good. And was unable to end the Jets' 13-year playoff drought. Defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich will take over as interim head coach for the remainder of the season. Fernando Tatis Jr. hit his fourth home run in 5 games as the San Diego Padres beat the LA Dodgers 6-5 and took a 2-1 lead in the National League Division Series yesterday. Game 4 of the series is tomorrow. And make sure you tune in this Friday at 7 as the Burns Rebels head to Gaffney to take on the Indians. It's Burns versus Gaffney right here on your home for Burns Rebels football. It is The Fan. Upstate.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.